I'm Norman Crusoe. Steven, GameStop will stop selling GameCube games come April 2nd.
I'm Steven Duncan. Does that mean they're not going to buy back my bot and Kaidos? Because I want my money back.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. On today's episode, Minecraft is coming to Xbox Live.
And maybe Dragon's Lair.
And our main topic, which should be a good one, should BioWare have changed the ending to Mass Effect 3?
Oh, look at us. We're topical and hip.
Yeah, we're right on time. And Steven, you just beat Mass Effect 3.
I did. Okay. I actually stayed up late to beat it 3 days ago.
Well, I hope you caught up on some sleep.
No, I haven't, but we can still roll.
Okay, well, our first topic. Rockstar Games has announced a few details about the online for GTA 5. You'll be able to import crews from the Max Payne 3 multiplayer into GTA 5. Steven, is this a good idea?
I don't think so. I don't think that there should be a substantial reward for buying another game. It's kind of, I think everybody at the start of a multiplayer should start on equal ground, but they're saying, hey, if you bought this game, you're going to be a leg up on everybody. And I'm going to assume that GTA 5 is going to be a competitive multiplayer versus a cooperative.
Well, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I mean, well, we'll see what you get to import and what bonuses you get.
I thought it was just you can import just like customized characters from Max Payne 3. I don't know if you get any like super perks from it or anything. Oh.
Well, if that's all it is, where you get to import skins and special characters, okay, that's fine. That's actually been going on. But if it's actual perks, and that's what I got from this when they're telling me that I can import crews. They didn't really go into too much detail over it. It's still kind of fuzzy. I'm just wary that the crews are already characters that are, for intents and purposes, already leveled up at the beginning of GTA 5 because you bought Max Payne 3.
What I don't get is I don't really understand why they're mixing the games. I guess it's just, when I think of Max Payne, I don't really think of Grand Theft Auto.
No,
I know they're made by the same company, but,
well, they're trying to beef up the sales of Max Payne 3, I would imagine, because GTA 5 is going to blow all kinds of financial records out the door. What's Max Payne 3 going to do?
Hello, haven't you seen the Max Payne movie?
Yeah, financial blockbuster right there, made enough to help me pay my rent. Minecraft is finally coming to the consoles, being released on Xbox Live Arcade May 9th. Even though we've both said we don't play the game, will you give it a shot now it's on a console?
Absolutely. I definitely will.
You going to buy into the hype?
Yes. I'll become another mindless Minecraft player. Yeah, I think it's cool it's coming to Xbox Live. It'll give me a chance to play it finally. Yeah, I have no desire to download it and install it on a computer and try it out.
No, and I'm the same way. I don't like my games being on my computer. I mean, a couple here and there, maybe. But from what I've heard of Minecraft, it is incredibly time-consuming. And yes. I don't want to sit at my computer desk for the next 30 hours playing a video game. It would bug me.
Why not?
It's not as comfortable as, say, a couch or a bed.
Oh, picky.
Yeah, I'm very picky. I remember I tried playing other games on my computer. I could never do it for more than an hour.
Well, I think Minecraft is going to be fun on the Xbox Live. I think it'll give a whole lot of people a chance to finally play it.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to try the demo out at least, just to see kind of what the hubbub is about.
Yeah, I'm still, like, super confused at what the game is actually about.
I think it's just about building stuff.
Yeah, but it looks like there's, like, first-person views and there's quests to go on. Like, I'm just so confused about what the game is actually about.
Yeah. I don't know about the quests or anything, but I know it's a first person, basically build your own world kind of thing. And the goal is to build your own world. It's building for building's sake. It is the ultimate sandbox.
It's like virtual Legos.
Yes.
Well, I loved Legos when I was little.
Well, I think Legos actually has a Minecraft set coming out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, even though I think it's just the original blocks repainted.
Lame.
Yeah, but I definitely want to try it out because it's one of those games where you can just kind of sit back and just kind of relax, which, you know, that would be kind of cool.
Maybe we can lay with each other and play Minecraft.
If you buy the plane ticket out here.
Okay. That seems worth it to me.
I know.
The arcade classic Dragon's Lair is being released on the Xbox Live Arcade, reportedly. Are you excited?
Not at all.
No?
No. I don't think Dragon's Lair is going to age well.
Here's my thing. As long as it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, I think it'd be a fun little release.
I think something like this, maybe you can release for, 400 points, maybe?
Yeah, 400 points is probably the right price for a game like this.
Right.
It's not really an actual video game. It's more like, like a scenario comes up and you got to hit a certain button.
Yeah, it's kind of like an interactive movie.
An interactive movie, yeah. Which is still cool, but it shouldn't cost more than 400 points, I think.
Right. It would be... Maybe I'd be slightly, just a hair more excited if it were updated with kind of more modern things, like more modern references. Dragon's Lair never really interested me back when I was younger. And now that I'm older and this game is older, it's still not drumming up anything from me.
Well, it really fascinated me because, you know, you look at all the video games around at the time and then you see Dragon's Lair and you're like, whoa. I mean, just because it's like you said, it's like a movie. It's a movie, which is really impressive and it was cool to see at the time, but of course now it's not going to be as impressive.
Right. I mean, it'll be cool to see the graphics hopefully updated to HD. I wouldn't imagine they would keep everything the same resolution while releasing it on HD consoles.
Maybe Dirk's nose will be in full HD for you to stare at.
Will it be in full HD and 3D, though?
That I don't know.
If the nose jumps out at me, more excitement.
Yes.
Square Enix has released a new teaser trailer for a new game. The rumor is that it's Final Fantasy Tactics 2. Do you think there's any truth to this?
It's possible. You watch the trailer, there's a crystal in there. So it's got to be Final Fantasy something.
Well, yeah. I mean, the crystal is in the style of... You've played Final Fantasy 12. Yeah. It's that type of crystal, and that world is set in Evilis, which is Final Fantasy Tactics world.
Yes.
And the art looks Final Fantasy Tactics-ish, and the music, it definitely sounds like Final Fantasy Tactics.
By the way, we had a fan comment on our last episode that we kept the Final Fantasy streak alive.
And now we're keeping it alive.
And now it is alive again.
Yeah. Don't worry, if we didn't mention it here, my send-off was going to be something really vulgar and Final Fantasy related, but I don't have to do that now.
See? Yeah. I hope it's Final Fantasy Tactics 2, though. That's one of those lesser-known Final Fantasy spin-off games, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's one of the best Final Fantasies. I mean, it's one of the best games on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and myself have both beaten this game numerous times. This game is just a joy.
I think you let me borrow it one time.
Probably. I try to let people play this. I have often mused that I wanted just more levels. That I just completed all the levels too much. And I just wanted new stuff. Like, I don't even need a new story. but I don't want them to cock this up like they did with Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Oh.
Because I remember, I've always loved Final Fantasy Tactics. Then Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced comes out. I'm like, yay, I get to play a portable version of a fantastic, almost instant classic. And it was a garbage game. And I'm afraid that if this is Final Fantasy Tactics 2, that's what it may be. I would hope they would bring the original creative team back somehow.
Do you think they'll have Squall as an unlockable character?
You think they would go that... I mean, well, it would make sense. They had Cloud in Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yep, it's time for Squall. Squall should come back. I'm ready.
That's the one.
Well, after our break, we'll go to our main topic, and it's a doozy. Should BioWare have changed the ending to Mass Effect 3? We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. And we're about to talk about Mass Effect 3.
Something near and dear to my heart.
So, Steven, recently one of the co-founders or something of BioWare announced that they will be making changes to the ending of Mass Effect 3. It'll be, I'm guessing it'll be available for download or something. I don't know. But the main point is they're going to change the ending.
Yeah. So before we get too in-depth into the topic, anybody who's listening to this who doesn't want spoilers for the ending, fast forward now.
Yeah, spoiler alert big time because we're about to talk about it.
Yeah, I can't go through an entire main topic about the ending of the game without talking in detail at some point about the actual ending of the game. So please, if you don't want this spoiled, if you want to experience the ending for yourself, please fast forward. And I'm hoping that's enough time for you to get the point that we're about to get through spoilers. Fast forward.
Please change the tape to side B.
Yeah. God, that's an old reference.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into should they have not changed the ending, Steven, fill us in, since you just beat Mass Effect 3, fill us in on the ending.
Okay, the ending, it is kind of tough to go over when you don't really know the details. You basically meet a god creature at the end, to put it down into, you know, layman's terms.
Okay.
This god creature tells you the cycle of what has been going through the Mass Effect universe every 50,000 years, I think is what it is. Kind of explains hidden technology and things like that. And gives you a choice. And you can either destroy the people you came to destroy. Problem is, it gets rid of all synthetic life, which includes a race of people that you may or may not have just saved. You can try to control all of them, and I don't know what happens there. I didn't really care. I think, like, you disperse them, or either way, it doesn't really solve a problem. Or, because since the main character actually reached the god character, it is the anomaly, and it's showing that there is progress. So the god character recognizes this and says, you can completely break the cycle by fusing all synthetic life and organic life. And then you choose. So if you destroy all the mechanical stuff, all the mechanical stuff goes boom. If you control everything, who knows? I haven't even cared to look it up. And if you synthesize everything, basically the universe restarts because you are evolving life to the final strand of DNA.
Right.
So if you do that, there's no more space travel. I mean, everything starts from square one. You are still yourselves. You still have your consciousness, but all technology is basically...
It's like a big reset button.
Yeah.
Okay, and, so do you get to choose which one you want to do?
Yes.
Okay, so which one did you choose?
I chose the synthetic, the merging, the evolution thing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that you listen to the God character, the other two solutions doesn't end the cycle. And even though your mission is to destroy the Reapers, that's... I'm getting philosophical about a video game. That is a short-sighted view. The synthetic thing, even though you bring back technology a ways, you give galactic peace, and it's the better long-term solution.
Right.
Now, the problem with these endings that some people are having are your choices. Like, you get, no matter if you're a good guy, if you're a dick, or if you're just a neutral guy,
they don't matter.
It doesn't matter. You can choose all three things.
So your choices throughout the game don't really affect the ending.
They don't affect the last 5 minutes of the game.
Okay.
I mean, all of your choices affect things all the way throughout the game. It just doesn't affect this last 5 minutes.
Right.
And it kind of, like, Mass Effect 3 allows Shepard to be, like in all the other games, you either needed to be a really good guy or a real dick. Because if you were kind of a good guy but kind of a jerk, you didn't get as many bonuses as right. If you had went full on either way. Mass Effect 3 kind of does away with that with a little bit, and you can be a good guy who occasionally punches women.
Okay.
That's not exaggeration. You can't do that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it kind of fits with what they were trying to do. It is kind of, like, my character through all three series was a really good stand-up kind of paladin guy, but I can still choose the bad way. I would have liked to have seen an ending tailored to my character. But I understand that you can choose as well. Then there's all kinds of questions which aren't really answered, like where are your squad mates? It's never directly answered. I mean, I just assumed, because Shepard gets hit by a giant death beam.
Okay.
I assume they ran, which is kind of out of character, because, like, I brought the character that I romanced. Doesn't make sense that she ran, but maybe someone forced her to ran. Like, there's a lot of gray area there. You can use your imagination as to why they're not around.
Was it really called a giant death beam?
I'm calling it a giant death beam.
Okay.
It was giant. It was a beam of death. It was red, and it hit me in the face.
Okay.
But then there is, how does the God character do what it does? It doesn't really explain, like for me, it doesn't explain how the synthetics and the organics get merged into each other while still staying themselves. It's not like you're recreating the Big Bang and starting the universe literally from scratch. You still have consciousnesses that are the same. Joker is still Joker. Edie is still Edie. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it doesn't really explain how they're doing it.
Okay. So overall, what did you think of the ending?
I was okay with the ending. I got the point, which was the universe started over.
Okay.
I got it. I understood it.
And from our earlier conversation when we were off air, you said you liked this ending better than Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Yes, I did. Because at least it told me something. At least it said the universe started over. The endings for Mass Effect 1 and 2 blew big donkey balls.
because why?
All the endings for 1 and 2 were always, we still have a job to do. And that was it.
Da-da-da! Da-da-da-da-da-da!
So I don't know why people were expecting a good ending. 1 and 2 had terrible endings. The ending sequence... Let's say the ending the entirety of it, like the final mission and the final approach, let's say it takes an hour. Let's just say.
Okay.
In Mass Effect 1, 2, and in 3, the first 55 minutes of that final sequence is fantastic. It's always the last 5 minutes that blows balls.
Yeah.
And that's... I wasn't expecting anything too great. I mean, yeah, there's little sense of closure, but, like, my character died. That's enough closure for me. I'm just going to assume everybody mourned me and went on with their lives.
So you were satisfied with the ending?
Yeah, like, I'm not looking for too much else. If I want more on the characters, I'll play the game again. I mean, Mass Effect 3 kind of showed where the characters were going with their lives. So you can understand what's going to happen. You know, they're all going to be leaders, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to our main topic. Steven, do you think BioWare should have come out and said, okay, we're going to change the ending to Mass Effect 3?
No, absolutely not.
I agree.
This is... First of all, I've heard different things. I've heard people say, well, they're just going to flat out change the ending. But I've also heard that they're just going to release DLC packets that give closure to certain questions.
Okay, and I'm fine with that. If they want to release a DLC so these fans can be satisfied, make them pay money.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, that's fine. Because, you know, movies do this too. Like, they'll release the DVD and they'll be like, and it has alternate endings, you know, that you've never seen before. Like on the director's cut or something of a movie.
Yeah.
That's fine, but you got to buy the DVD to watch it. Do the same thing with this ending.
Yeah, I think that's what they would do. I would be more okay with like the little DLCs that give closure to certain subjects, but an actual changing of the ending?
Yeah. Don't release a patch that forces people to download it.
No. I think you should stick to your creative guns.
Exactly.
Like you wanted to do something different. Stick with it. Don't worry about what other people are saying. Like that's as a musician, we always say, just create what you want to create. Because if you try to please everybody, you're just gonna piss off everybody.
Yeah.
So like from a creative standpoint, just stick with it. Who cares if people thought it was bad? People thought the ending to The Sopranos was bad.
It's very similar to, you know, when I make my videos. Mm-hmm. I get comments, oh, you should change this. But I do what I want to do.
Right.
That I feel is best.
And that's how it should be. Now, another reason they shouldn't change the core of the ending, the core being the universe starts over. Because at the end, you get the super secret thing and it's, you know, a little child asking his grandfather when he will be able to traverse the stars. Because now, like I said, there's no means of space travel.
Right.
And the girlfriend had a good idea in that it leads to what can be Mass Effect Prototype.
It wouldn't be a prequel, would it? Technically a sequel, but it would be like before it all started.
Yeah, it would be in this new universe, and it would be civilization as it is discovering other civilizations. It would be as the humans are first coming in contact with the Quarians, or first coming in contact with the Krogan.
That would be cool.
It would be fantastic to, even though you're in a sequel and you're in this universe that has history built up, and the way the ending showed is that this history has been passed down from the Tales of the Shepherd, but you can also kind of see it from the beginning, even though you're after it. It's a fantastic concept, and I'm hoping BioWare's listening, and I just gave them the new $1 billion idea, and I can get this game.
They'll be emailing you shortly.
I would hope so, even though it's not my idea, really. So it leaves that room. It allows you to do that.
See, I read a good article about them changing the ending, and the headline was fans clamoring to change the ending is anti-video games. And I think that's the best way to put it. because because video games are, you know, an artistic medium. It's like making a movie or writing a song. Mm-hmm. And for fans to say, oh, I didn't like that, you should change it, that's, it's just, it's anti-video games. Imagine, imagine playing a, like a, I heard this on Twitter, if fans were pissed off at the Mass Effect 3 ending, they should go back and play some old Nintendo games and check out the endings to some of those.
Where all you got was like one text screen.
They said like, congratulations, the end.
Yeah. This is my thing. Let's say Mass Effect 1 lasted 20 hours, Mass Effect 3 lasted, I mean, excuse me, 1 lasted 20, 2 lasted 30, and this one, not going through multiplayer, lasted 40. Those were roughly my times.
Okay.
90 hours, not including multiplayer. 90 hours of things that everybody raved about, said they loved, and you're just going to bitch about the last 5 minutes of it.
Yep.
And like I've read people say, you know, if it wasn't for the ending, I would have given this a 9.5, but because of the ending, I'm going to give it a 9. Like, percentage-wise, that doesn't make sense. You're talking about docking something an entire...
For 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. 5 minutes, that's it. Because you didn't get the ending that you wanted. Everything approaching that was amazing. I mean, there are other things you should be complaining about in the video game medium. Just because the last 5 minutes wasn't your last 5 minutes.
Steven, I'm going to leave you with a quote. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Exactly!
That sums it up perfectly. And that's what video games are all about.
Right.
I thought the ending to Final Fantasy VII was stupid. But, hey, whatever.
Yeah, the journey up to it was amazing.
Yeah, that game kicked ass.
I got it. And then, also, if they do change the actual ending, that's starting a dangerous precedent, especially with a game as big as Mass Effect 3.
Yep, it means fans can just complain about whatever they want, and the creators will be pressured to change it. And you know what's funny? How many copies of Mass Effect 3 sold, do you think? Like 1 million, 2 million or something?
It was close to 1 million on the first night.
Okay. The petition was only for 50,000 people. Just think of how small of a percentage that is.
Yeah. It's the minority.
Yeah, you're gonna change the game because 50,000 people out of over 1 million didn't like the ending?
Yeah. If you liked it, if you thought it was good, as the creator, stick with it. Say, that's what it is.
Yes. Well, I think that sums up our main topic. Steven, do you have anything to add?
No, actually I don't. I think we went over it pretty well.
Okay. Well, let's go to our next three topics after we take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's time for our last three topics, and then I think we're out of here because we don't have any mail.
We don't have any mail. Mailbag's empty.
Now, how can people contact us?
You can email us, level7cast@gmail.com. You can blow us up on Twitter, @level7cast.
Yes.
Or search Facebook, just Level 7 Podcast. And boom. Yes.
Yeah, and I think like if we have two more fans on Facebook, we can customize the page a little more. So, come on, people. Just need two more. Come on.
Just two.
Just two.
That's it.
Call your grandma. Tell her to like us on Facebook.
Sure. Do you want me to call the one that can't use a computer or the one that can't see?
Both.
Okay.
All right. Epic Mickey 2 has been confirmed.
Yay.
Woohoo. The sequel will be released later this year and feature voice acting and musical numbers. It will also be released on all three home consoles. Steven, are you willing to give this a shot?
they put out a demo for it, then yeah, I'll be willing to at least play that. Because with Epic Mickey 1, when I heard that it was a more adult, a more dark Mickey, I was kind of okay with that, and I was kind intrigued. Of interested to see how it was. Yeah. But then it was only on the Wii. I've said this a lot. My Wii's dead. It was dead when Epic Mickey came out. Stopped caring about it.
So you said F it.
Yeah, pretty much. I want to see what these musical numbers are going to be, because if Epic Mickey is supposed to be more adult, I don't exactly envision show tunes unless they want to, you know, adulterize show tunes.
Come on in and pull yourself up a chair.
That's what I would imagine.
Yeah, I think a demo would be nice. You know, that's what's nice about Xbox and PS3. They have demos.
Yeah. And I think that it's smart bringing it to all three.
Yes, like, very, very, very good. I think if it was on Xbox, I would have been more open to it. But yeah, only being on the Wii, I'm not a Wii hater, but eh.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't want to go through that like control scheme. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't want to put up with it.
And honestly, you know, I've been speaking of control schemes, you know, I've been playing Skyward Sword. It's hard to keep playing it because of the controls. Like, they're starting to bug me.
Yeah, I mean, it gets taxing after a while.
It's like a chore.
Yeah. And also, not to be someone who's graphic-centric, but because it will be on higher power platforms, artistically, you can do more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can show off more, you can give more design, you can make bigger worlds. It's, like I said, it's just a brilliant move bringing it to, you know, to the 360 and the PS3.
Yeah, and hopefully it does a little better, because the first Epic Mickey didn't do all that well.
Right. I think it will. I think this will help it.
Yes.
Norm, the Art of Video Games exhibit is now open at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. It's the first museum exhibit treating video games as an art form. Is this a significant accomplishment or not a big deal?
I think it's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Smithsonian. Steven, right. We went there in the sixth grade. Do you remember?
Vaguely, but yeah, I remember going to a place called the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I think you were drunk most of the time.
Yes, I started drinking early.
Yep, we tried to help you, but you wouldn't listen.
And interventions don't work as well as people think.
I don't have a problem. I don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Smithsonian, I mean, that's like the biggest museum in the United States. So many exhibits, and to have a section about video games, specifically the art of video games,
yeah,
is a very significant accomplishment, because you got to think, maybe 10 years ago, people wouldn't have even have thought to throw video games in a museum.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome that we are finally, after all these years, looking at video games as an art and not as a toy. Like, even back when video games were made more for children, let's take Mario, for example. Creating that world and creating that level design is still an art form. You are still creating something.
Yeah, and I think people are starting to take it more seriously, because the capabilities of video games are going farther and farther.
Yeah.
So that, it, once it, like Mass Effect 3, it's kind of like a 90-hour movie.
Right. That and,
well, Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, 90-hour right. movie.
And then there's also, like, go play, if you haven't done so already, go play Braid, or go, like, watch a YouTube video of the entirety of Braid. It's, that game is art. You can't play that game and tell me that it is not an artistic movement. From the graphics to the music down to the level design, it as a package, it is art. So I'm like, because of games like that, I'm glad to see that people are finally viewing video games in a different light.
And finally, our last topic. Steven, a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie is set to release in late 2013, and Michael Bay is directing. Bay recently announced the Turtles would be in Alien Race, and that the movie will simply be called Ninja Turtles. Fans are outraged at the creative changes. Should we be?
I don't know if we should be outraged. I don't plan on staging a revolt or a riot based on this. I do think it's funny that Michael Bay, after hearing the backlash, told everybody to chill.
Yeah, like, he said,
hey guys, I got this.
Calm the hell down. He haven't even seen the movie yet.
Yeah. And what do people expect? It's Michael Bay.
Yeah, look what he did to Transformers.
Right. I mean, there's not... I mean, there's nothing... You think Michael Bay is going to give you an intellectually sparked movie based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? No, it's not going to happen. He was going to do something stupid to it. You knew it was coming, and you should be mad at yourselves for not seeing it coming.
And you know what? People are still going to go see it because they're so damn curious about what it's going to be like. I think maybe even more people will see it now.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, either... I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You and I both.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not mad at this. I mean, it's... I mean, yeah, it's changed. So they're going to fall from the sky instead of coming up from the sewers. There's, you know... there's no reason to be mad. You're going to get mad over the fact that they're aliens instead of mutants? Maybe you need to get some hobbies.
Well... Turtles hasn't been the same for me since we watched the old cartoons back in the day and the original live action movies. And
yeah, the first two.
Yeah. So I didn't even watch the newest CGI, the animated one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even watch that because
it's
just not. It's not the same.
Yeah, well, like, I've heard, like, there are some comics that are doing some pretty interesting things with the property.
And that's where it all started. It was originally a comic.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, Turtles eventually went to, like, other dimensions, and they went into space and all this kind of stuff. And changing them to an alien race, I mean, that's not that far-fetched. They're going to eat pizza, and then people are going to love them again.
Who knows? It might even be a comedy. It might be, like, the funniest movie of the year.
Michael Bay with comedies?
Yeah.
The punchline's an explosion. How does that work?
I don't know.
Why did chicken cross the road? Boom!
I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it for a while.
Yeah, and that might have been our first topic that wasn't video game related.
Yes, actually it was.
But, you know, there are Ninja Turtle video games, so I'm counting it, damn it.
Yeah, we can talk about... Turtles in Time. There. We just made it video game related.
Good game.
Very good game. Except for the remake that was on the XBLA. Very, very disappointed with that remake.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah. I still have the original SNES cartridge. I will put in the SNES cartridge any day of the week before I put in the XBLA version.
Yeah, the remake was just boring and...
Well, it was boring. It was it was kind of ugly. It was sluggish and just didn't have that charm anymore.
If only the turtles were an alien race in the remake.
Then they would have moved around better and there would have been
spaceships and hoverboards.
If there was a game based on the Michael Bay version of Ninja Turtles, it would be like a Gears of War shooter. Be a cover-based shooter.
Hell yeah. Maybe they'll have guns in this new movie. That would be insane.
So all of them would just have different types of guns, like Raphael's the sniper.
Yeah.
Donatello's the guy with the SMG, so he's basically just cannon fighter.
Leonardo's got the standard assault rifle.
Yeah, and then Michelangelo's has the dual pistol because he thinks it's cool, but it's pretty worthless.
No, let's give Michelangelo grenades. He just has grenades. He just throws grenades everywhere.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Well, Steven, we don't have any mail, so it's time to wrap things up. Do you have any final thoughts?
Trying to wonder what I'm going to play, because now that I beat Mass Effect 3, I have to start digging into my library.
I'll give you... Let's see.
You're going to tell me Earthbound. I know what you're going to tell me.
Well, you don't have Earthbound, so... Don't expect you to play it. Unless you want to emulate it. But we all know that's wrong.
That is incredibly wrong.
We don't, Norman. We don't condone emulation here at the Level 7 Podcast.
Absolutely not.
No. I think I might play some Final Fantasy 13 tonight or Battlefield 1943. We'll see.
Ooh.
I feel like shooting something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's for dinner tonight?
Tacos.
Classic.
Very childhood classic. Favorite.
No sour cream, though, right?
I gob my stuff with sour cream.
Oh, God. Sour cream is disgusting.
I could eat a spoonful of sour cream by itself.
Well, you go enjoy that.
And now the viewers know our most disagreed upon topic.
That's
sour
it.
Cream.
That'll be our main topic next week. Is sour cream good? We might lose a lot of viewers.
We could get some viewers. I could get the support sour cream movement going.
Yeah, we'd have like a we'd have like some taco message board linked to our podcast. We'd be like, these guys argued about sour cream for like an hour. All right, well, that's about it for this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Until next time, take care.
Goodbye.